Now, while the search was going on, one of the Rebbe's daughters, Chayamushka, was for a moment in a room alone, and she noticed through her open window that her chassan, the Rebbe Shlita, was outside. So she quickly let him know through the window that guests came to visit. The Rebbe Shlita right away understood what kind of guests she meant, the GPO. So the Rebbe ran quickly over to the house of Rebbe Lechaim Altoiz, who was a close friend and chassid of the Friedrich Rebbe, to let him know what's happening. Then the Rebbe Shlita and Rebbe Lechaim's son, Reb Pinchas, ran to the Rebbe's secretary's house to make sure that he hides away all the papers about the yeshivas, the chadarim, and so on,
so that
if the GPO comes there to search, they shouldn't find anything. Now, getting back to the Rebbe's house, after their long search, they prepared an official form and handed it to the Rebbe to sign. The Rebbe read everything that was written on the form, which said that they have made their search in the proper way according to the rules, and that they let the Rebbe know that he is arrested. The Rebbe told them, "I cannot sign this form because it says that the search was done according to the law, but I don't see this search to be correct to begin with. Everyone knows who is Rabbi Schneerson and what he does. I have no doubt that either one of the two things happened here. Either this visit and search have taken place only by mistake, or because of some false libel. In any case, I cannot sign this form. And about arresting me, well, it seems like all the begging of my family for my sake has not helped. But still, I find it necessary to mention my opinion about your wanting to arrest me. As I said before, I'm sure that the whole thing is just a mistake or a plot, which will surely be cleared within a day or two. Everyone knows who I am and what I do, and I myself have never hid my face. I live in the center of one of the largest cities of this country. I have a shul, and I teach Hasidus on every Shabbos and Yom Tov. This means that I didn't hide from anyone what I was doing, and I believe that this arrest will bring about a bad name against you. It would be much better to wait with the arrest until you find out the truth of the matter, if that's what you're interested in. But if your intention is the opposite, to cover up the mistake, or to hide the plot in a covering of lies, in that case then, you'll feel very sorry. You may do anything you want, but you will not arrest Schneerson by false ways." Mr. Nachmanson roughly interrupted the Rebbe's words and said, "The GPO is responsible for its actions, and they're not afraid of what anyone in the world says about it. And if the order was given to arrest you, they surely have the power to do so. And I wonder, how can you speak like that? You should just know that you are arrested."
"I don't understand," says the Rebbe. "Why was I interrupted in the middle of my words? Not giving me a chance to finish what I want to say and ask for?"
"What?" says Mr. Nachmanson. "Do you wish to ask for something? Well, that's something that you surely can do, just like any prisoner may. But why do you speak in such a bad way? Don't you realize your situation? We have not come here to have discussions with you, and not to hear the requests of your daughters and the people of your house."
"And you?"
Nachmanson turned to the daughters and said in great anger, "Leave this room! If you'll speak one more second, you'll all be arrested." And as he lifted up his gun, he said, "With this, I will speak with you, and then you'll all stop speaking your fancy words." The eldest daughter answered,
"We speak in the language used by all people, those who act like people at all times, and not in the language of those people who just stepped out of the mud, who cannot speak to people in a normal and straight way. All they can do is to show their gun and threaten with imprisonment. Permit our father to remain with us, because we love him so deeply. I and my sisters will gladly go to jail instead of our father. Our father is weak. The doctor has instructed him not to go outside. Bring a doctor. Examine him to see whether he can be taken to jail. Take us. You can leave guards here until the doctor will find it possible for him to go outside. After all, you too are a human being. You must surely have what the world calls feelings. You must surely have what the world calls decency.
And she burst into tears. The Rebbe said to her, only wishful thinking can imagine that pleas and tears could help. Then the Rebbe turned to her and to his wife, the Rebbetzin, and to the other two daughters who were all standing, looking white as snow, with tears running from their eyes. And the Rebbe said, a cruel person and pleas are two opposites. The Rebbe turned back to Nachmanson and said with a firm voice, why didn't you let me finish my words? You can try to frighten me in prison. You can try to teach and explain me the rules of how to speak to people later in prison. But here in my own home, you have to listen to my words. I am still within the walls of my own home, and I wish to speak in front of the members of my family, that is, in front of truthful witnesses that you will not be able to deny. Nachmanson answered, your words are full of poison. You don't appreciate the laws of the present government. Well, we'll yet discuss this matter. Now speak as you wish in front of your family, that is, with witnesses that we will not be able to deny later. And with a laughing smile, Nachmanson winked with his eye toward his assistant Lulav and to his friends, the other three armed men who were then in the room. The Rebbe said, I demand permission to put on tefillin and daven, and if the law permits, I should be given food for my own home without having the food pass through anyone else's hands. Nachmanson answered, are you asking for permission to pray? I'm telling you that you may take along your tefillin, books, paper, and a pencil, and I seriously promise you that no one will disturb you from praying, from reading, or from writing. In fact, this very day you'll return home. When you'll get there, the head of the GPO will be waiting for you, and he'll just ask you a few questions, and you'll be able to return home. The discussions have now ended, and they waited for the van to come and take the Rebbe to the infamous Spalerne prison. It was at this moment when the Rebbe's mother, Rebbetzin Sterne Sara, the Rebbe Rashab's wife, came into the room. Until now, she was in her own room and didn't really know what was going on in the house, because Mr. Nachmanson asked that no one should make any noise so as not to awake her from her sleep. I don't know, says the Rebbe, how she found out, but somehow she did find out and suddenly came into the room. And when she saw the uninvited visitors, she clapped her hands and cried out with a frightened voice, what is this? Why have they come? Are they going to lay their hands on innocent people? On someone like you, my son, who works to help others? It took only a few moments, and she realized what is really going on. No, she called out in a loud voice. I will not let them take you, who are so precious to me. I will go instead of you. Take me, she begged with mercy as she turned to Nachmanson. Take me. Do not disturb my son, my one and only son, who responds to others in their time of need and suffering. Are you also going to make such straight and innocent people go through such a serious punishment? Oy vey, imprisonment! And she cried bitterly. Oy vey to us! My husband! She called out to the Rebbe Rashab in Gan Eden. They are taking our Yosef Yitzchak away! Your one and only son who does Mesiras Nefesh, gives his life away in order to do good for others. He's your one and only son. Your one and only son who follows your instructions with Mesiras Nefesh. Oy, bandits have come, murderers of innocent people. And for what? My holy fathers, the Rabbeim, they want to put out your flame. Be what may, no matter what happens, I shall not permit them to take you.
Please, says Mr. Nachmanson to the Rebbe, calm her down. Go take her to her room. I'm not responsible for her crying like this. Weren't we quiet? We didn't want to disturb her rest. Please calm her.
At this moment, the Rebbe says, it went through his mind that here he sees that even such a wicked man as Nachmanson was concerned about the feelings of the Rebbetzin, which shows that even in someone who was so bad and so wicked, there is a spark of good. The Rebbe went with the Rebbetzin into her room, and over there the Rebbe spoke with her things that he could not have spoken in front of the people who came, even though they did not disturb the Rebbe from speaking at all, since they went outside for a walk while the guards were watching inside until the van would come. The Rebbe said that he does not really understand why this happened, what could have been the cause of this arrest. There are certain thoughts that came to his mind. Maybe they want to take him as a hostage because they want to get something from the Yidden. But why should they do this? The Rebbe says he doesn't know exactly. The members of the family asked the Rebbe what to do now. And the Rebbe said, first of all, they should go to the Oihel of the Rebbe Rashab. And then they should go to the Oihel in Lubavitch, where the Rebbe Maharash and the Tzemach Tzedek is. And they should go to Nyezhin, that's the Oihel of the Mittel Rebbe. And go to the Oihel in Haditz, which is where the Alter Rebbe is. And over there they should notify the Rabbeim of what happened. Also, they should ask the Chassidim to say Tehillim in the shuls during the first days. What? The first days? Asked the family. What do you think? They asked the Rebbe. Chas v'shalom, who knows what's going to be? That, Mirta Hashem, we shall see later. But right now, don't make a big tumult. And I'm sure that in many places they're going to find out about it right away. And whatever the Chassidim will do anywhere, whether here or in other places, in order to help, do not hold them back. Don't stop them. But from your part, what you should do, try to get people who are close with the government to try to convince them about my freedom, that they should free me from prison. What's most important, first of all, is to notify all the places where they're learning Torah, that they should not stop Chas V'Shalom, the holy work, even though it's going to be very hard for them to get money now to pay the teachers, because those who gave money until now, some of them may have now an excuse for not giving money. They'll say they're afraid, whatever. And that's why I want to tell you, this is my strong, strict command, that you should not worry about how much we owe until now. Don't care about that. Take loans. Borrow money. Just make sure that wherever they need money to continue the work of teaching Torah, make sure you send them the money. And you should know that until Hashem will return me back home, you should do all of my work in a very orderly way. By this time, the Rebbe already heard from one of the members of the family that the Rebbe's secretary found out already what's doing at the Rebbe's home, and he surely got rid of all of the papers that he was supposed to get rid of. Baruch Hashem. The Rebbe's mother, the Rebbe's wife, his daughters, his son-in-law, all were standing in shock, their faces white like chalk, their eyes full of tears. At this moment, no one was able to find words to say. Everyone just looking at the Rebbe in great shock, with great hope, with yearning, with mercy, without saying a word. How surprising this is. There are only a few moments left. Everyone's waiting for the van to come. In a few moments, they're going to take the Rebbe to the jail, to Shpalerne.
Spalerne was a jail that was known to everyone as the most frightening place to be. Anyone who hears the name Spalerne knows that this is no joke at all. No one goes to Spalerne just for a short time. In fact, the name of the jail was called Spalerka because it was on Spalerne Street. When anyone hears that somebody was taken to Spalerka, everything was clear. It meant real serious business. Not just for a short time, not just for a day or two. And yet, as the Rebbe says, at this time, when the moments were counted, there is so much to speak, so much to ask, so much to command, so much to order. And now, the mouth just does not speak. The brain does not control the heart. The heart gets more and more excited, doesn't give a chance for the brain to think, for the mouth to speak. But yet, with Hashem's kindness, I did not lose control of myself. I spoke several things which were very important of how to continue the work.
The Rebbe said, I am sure that they have prepared for me a trap. They have very serious plots planned against me. They're going to try to force me to admit on certain things that has nothing to do with the work that I do of spreading Yiddishkeit. I want you to know that no matter what they do, they're not going to make me change my mind. If they're going to ask me about my work, I'm going to tell them everything. That is, that I strengthen the Torah and those who study Torah as much as I can. If they ask me who are my friends, who are my helpers involved with this, I'm going to take it all on myself. That is, I'm not going to tell them of any names whatsoever of anybody else. And therefore, if Chas V'Shalom, they come to arrest anybody else, and they'll say that they got the name from me, you should know right now that it's a big lie. As I said, they're not going to convince me to do anything. I'm going to do only what I'm telling you now. There is nothing in the world that will force me to change my decision that I'm making right now. I can tell on the face of Nachmanson, the way he speaks, that he's so sure about himself that it seems like they gathered such evidence and proof against me in order to harm the Yidden through this arrest. But I have strong bitachin in Hashem, that Hashem is going to free me from their hands, and I will return back to my work like I did before. Be careful to carry out everything that I'm commanding you now, and don't let your heart fall. Hashem will help us. Please take all the writings and spread them out in different places that they should be safe. The Rebbe did not even finish speaking, and Lulav already came back and told the Rebbe that the van is waiting for him outside and that he should hurry up. The Rebbe answered, the way things are in Russia today, there is nothing to lose. Even the one who comes to arrest someone else can be sure that his turn will also come. We're not allowed to rush. There is nothing to lose.